When you finally break it all down, it's the pride. The enemy has done his best to give you the wrong understanding and the wrong definition of the word pride. Usually when we have heard this word used, it's somebody slamming us saying, you're arrogant, you're proud, and other words that come behind it we can't repeat here because it's Sunday morning. Don't say it when you get out of the parking lot. But there's something about how God spoke in the Old Testament when the enemy tried to take this word and use it as a negative, just like he's taken music, and you see what he's done with music, infiltrated it with everything vulgar that you can imagine. But I believe this morning when we look at this word pride, you're going to see it from the vantage point. And I want to take you on the other side of what pride means. The culture has defined it one way. However, the scriptures defines it another way. And before I get ready to take you on the other side of pride, I want to read you the Micah mandate because this really sums it up. We know about the Great Commission. We know about the Great Commandment. We know about the Great Covenant. I want to open this morning with a great responsibility. We call it the Micah mandate. It's found in Micah. You don't have it on the screen. Let me read it to you. It's found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Listen to these words. God has shown you, O man, what is good. When you hear the words, I'm proud of you, that's the way God meant it. When you say to your son or your daughter, I am proud of you, something happens on the inside of that child that raises his or her edification complex and helps her to see that when you hear the voice of God saying to you, I affirm you, I am proud of you, I love you, no matter what anybody else has said, you must hear God in this great requirement as he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require? There's the word, the great requirement. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, that means to love doing what is right. But to love mercy, to love showing mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your presence is here. And I ask that you would take this flawed, undone, wretched piece of clay and do through me what only you can take credit for. God, these are your people. We need you to show us the holy side of pride. And we believe that before we leave this place today, we will have a clearer understanding of what it means to hear you say, my child, my son, my daughter, I am proud of you. We thank you for it and we praise you for it now. In the holy and high name of Jesus, who is our Christ, and the people of God said, amen. Well, you heard the Isley brothers. I almost started, how many of you know who that was in the intro? You knew who it was? You really did? You did? Okay. Well, the Isley brothers are not here this morning. But the Foreman brothers are here. Now, Big George couldn't be here this morning. Please forgive me. George Foreman couldn't be here. He's on another assignment. I couldn't get him. I tried. So George Foreman not here this morning. But our lead Pastor Ken Foreman is here. Pastor Ken, you are simply the best. Let's give it up for Ken Foreman. And then his eye candy handsome brother is here. Pastor Kurt. Let's give it up for Kurt Foreman. Two of the greatest men on the planet. Now there are four Foreman brothers now. There are four. Big George, Pastor Ken, Pastor Kurt, and then we can't leave out the adopted son, Pastor Mike Garcia Foreman. Yeah, so that makes four, right? One, two, three, four. The Foreman brothers. Well, the word of God is so rich, and I pray that you will turn up your spiritual antennas this morning and let us hear God speak. When he said these words, when the clouds of heaven opened, he said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Let's don't get it twisted. Make sure that you're hearing him. When you hear him, beloved, when you hear God say, "I'm proud of you, I love you, I know you, there's nothing you can do to stop me from loving you, I am proud of you," that's the original meaning of the word pride. Don't let the enemy twist it and get you understood on a path that can lead to destruction. We're talking about the seven deadly sins. If you get the wrong understanding of this word, the haughtiness of pride can lead you down a path of destruction. But the beauty and the joy of this word, before the enemy got his hands on it, you see, he got kicked out because he got too grown. He got full of himself. And he used the letter I. You're going to hear it later on in the message this morning. But when you hear God say, watch these words, he says, "This is my beloved Son." You are God's beloved child. And God says, "I am proud of you." Have you heard lately somebody say, "I'm proud of you. I thank God for you. You did a great job." When you hear those words, something rises up inside of you and says, it causes you to rejoice. It causes you to get motivated. It causes you to say, "I don't care what happens. I can go and take care of this. I can do this because I heard the right voice and it had the right meaning with the right motive. I love you. I am proud of you." Now, you've heard the words, "I'm proud to be American." I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. American, for some of you who are from down yonder. I'm so proud to be an American. When you think about having served your country, being a United States Army veteran, the privilege of being able to serve God and represent him in this nation on that level, something special about hearing God say, "I'm proud of you." James 4, I want you to read what's on the screen now. James 4, verse 6 says these words, and this is the context of our lesson this morning. The Bible says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, he says in James 4, 6, watch these words now, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the..." He gives grace to the... Now, watch this word. In the original Greek, this word "resists" means to push back against. God pushes back against the proud. Worldly pride. Pride that leads to division and strife. Pride that takes you down a wrong road. Pride that will cause you to fall if you get full of yourself. God says, "I want you to empty yourself of yourself and get filled with me," because the power and presence of the Holy Spirit fills you. And he says, "Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit," and then you'll understand and hear God say over and over and over again, "I can keep you from stumbling. I can keep you from falling. I can keep you from destruction if you'll allow me to let you know again and again, I'm proud of you. I love you." In Psalms 92, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit. You're looking at a broken piece of clay here this morning. Now, I'm not eye candy like Pastor Ken, so I'm going to stay behind the podium as long as I can. The Bible says, in God's garden of grace, even broken trees bear fruit. God is close to the brokenhearted. He takes the broken pieces and put them back together. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. He didn't fall too far because grace reached down and picked him back up, put him back together again, put him on the shelf, made him a trophy of God's grace, and you travel the world letting people know that God is good, God is great, his grace is sufficient. Even broken trees bear fruit. And the Bible says in Psalms 92, verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Dr. Wayne, we're getting up there. But doesn't he look good for 70? Look at that. Yeah. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be, watch this, fresh and flourishing. Now look, raise your hands if you're sure. Everybody put on deodorant, right? They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now one translation says they shall be fat and flourishing. You gotta watch that fat now. But when you really understand fat for what it means, the acronym, watch this, you can help me, Pastor Roy. The acronym means what? Faithful, available, and teachable. Hold on to that fat. Let go of the other stuff, but hold on to fat, the acronym F-A-T. Faithful, available, and teachable. When you hear God say that I'm proud of you, you keep on humbling yourself, you keep on going low, because God says he is close to the brokenhearted. And then he reminds us in James chapter 4, verse 10, watch what he says. Humble yourself. See, God's not going to humble you. If he has to humble you, it's going to be more painful than if you would humble yourself. Ask me how I know. I was coming from a meeting in Texas, had just left this huge pastor's conference. I was pastoring my first church, 19 years old, Fort Ord, California. I drove back Thursday just to take a look because my mama told me, she said, son, don't go by the church, go home. Young whippersnapper. I got in my little red Vega when I got off the plane, and instead of going home like I should have, I went by the building, 4th Street Chapel. Got in my car to come home, a terrible rainstorm. I took exit 40B, Pacific Grove, Del Monte Avenue. The wind picked up that little Vega and flipped it 3 times. It landed in a ditch, and the car, like a horseshoe, was around the tree. I can take you to it right now, was around that tree, and they had to cut this poor little boy out of that car. It was said that I would never walk again because one of the injuries was close to my spine, and the femur bone, this biggest bone in the body, was outside of its fixture. It was broken in 2 places. Once they got me to the hospital and had to put that bone back in place, right now I'll die with a 12-inch steel plate and 9 steel screws in my left femur. But that it didn't stop there. When I got to the hospital, one of the doctors up the street from Silas B. Hayes Hospital said, let me drive in the ambulance with him. I know him. The church is right up the street from Silas B. Hayes Summer Hospital. But when I got to the hospital, I didn't see him. I believe it was an angel. Because before they rolled me into surgery, a lady said, Pastor, can you pray for me? Pray for me. I'm in pain. I don't feel like praying. I'm just being honest. I didn't feel like praying. I was in such pain. And I told Dr. John, I said, Dr. John, whatever you do now, don't call my mama. I know I'm in trouble. I'm in pain, but I know I'm in trouble. Somebody's going to say to her that he didn't go home like you told him. See, hard-headed. Where I'm from, it says a hard head tosses a soft whatever you're sitting on. Hard head. Could have lost his left leg. Was told that I'd never walk again, but God had grace on this poor little fellow. Healed this leg up. I got up after 6 months of rehabilitation. The leg mended. I've been playing tennis ever since. Got clearance from the doctor to play tennis again. Thought I'd never play tennis again. My son can testify. He can beat me now. But the pain of pride can lead to destruction. Almost destroyed the left side of my body because I wouldn't listen. Now, when you understand God still saying, even when you're hard-headed, boy, even when I've got to chastise you, even when I've got to correct you, it's for your good and for my glory. I'll put you back together again. I will correct you. I will reprove you, but I will do it because I love you. I want the best for you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I am not trying to destroy you. I'm trying to put you back together again. It may be a little painful, but if you take the pain, you will receive the gain. And I'm not talking about gain washing powder. I'm talking about the gain that comes from the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God. He'll get you back up again. He'll put you back together again. He'll make it look like you never had an accident. I walk and I run, and you can never tell there's steel in this plate. You'll never tell that there's screws in this leg. Why? Because God touched this leg, put me back together again, and I can run. I can go up the stairs. But my pride almost destroyed me. Humble yourself. Well, how do I do that? Humble yourself. How many of you remember when you were baptized? Raise your right hand. You remember when you were baptized? All right, now, you remember who baptized you? Okay, I want you to get this picture now. When you got in the water, the person who was going to take you under, you had to trust that they were gonna take you under and not let you drown and bring you back up. So in other words, you have to yield. If you don't surrender your will, if I don't surrender my will, nothing's gonna happen. I'll be as stiff as a board. It's time to go under the water, and I don't wanna yield. Well, if I don't yield, I'm not going under. But if I yield, I'm trusting the one who's going to take me under. He's not going to let me drown. He's going to bring me back up. I'm going to go down old and come back up new. It's all because I yield. He's doing the work, and he's saying, if you yield yourself, if you humble yourself, you've got great things in front of you. The devil can't take what God has for you. If you will humble yourself, your greatest days are ahead of you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. See, had I humbled myself, I wouldn't have had to go in the operating room. But God doesn't leave you there, right? So James chapter 4 says, humble yourself. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I want you to take a look now as I move forward to four words. I want you to see these four words. Four words. One is pride. One is sin. One is lie, one is Lucifer. The middle letter in each of those four words is the letter what? I. Now, let's take a look at another four words. Four words now. Four words, four more words. You'll see them. One is believe, one is receive, one is abide, and another is arise. The middle letter in those four words is also I. Now, here's my question for you this morning. Which side of John 10:10 would you choose to be connected to? Those first four words are tethered to the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has the twisted definition of pride. The second four words are connected to the one who says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. When you've got the great I am residing on the inside of you and you know him and he knows you, the Bible says you don't have to fear because Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In Isaiah 41:10, it's not up on the screen, but let me give it to you. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For the Lord your God will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. You don't have to fear the wrong definition of pride. You can hear Jesus say to you, I'm proud of you. I love you. And when you consider that worldly pride leads to heartache, jealousy, hatred, discord, depravity, distress, and death, holy humility leads to hope, healing, health, unity, building others up, and a hallelujah life. I sing a hallelujah. Somebody sings that song. There's something about hallelujah offering the highest praise to God because the great I am is on the inside of you, working out every detail of your life. But we have a thief. He comes. He's lurking. The thief comes. And some of you can fit in the equation of what I am about to say. Devil, you tried to steal God's word from my heart. You tried to steal my family. You tried to steal my purity. You tried to steal my marriage. You tried to steal my family. You tried to steal my mind. You tried to steal my finances. You tried to steal my identity. You tried to steal my health. You tried to steal my dignity. You tried to steal my friendships. You tried to steal my soul and my future in heaven, but by God's grace, I humbled myself. I confessed and repented and forsook the error of my way. I let go of my pride and I grabbed on to humility. I bowed my knees to Jesus Christ, my King, and he has given me the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave and destructive pride. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8 says this: Jesus made himself no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Christ humbled himself so I can humble myself. He yielded. He told John, let it be so. When he came to be baptized, John said, wait a minute, Jesus, you baptize me. Jesus said, no. So that the scriptures can be fulfilled, you take me under. Jesus Christ being baptized by somebody else that he created? Humility. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Your body is God's land. He created you for his purpose. And if you humble yourself, you'll see your greatest days. The enemy is trying to get you away from the compassion of God. And he says this. In the book of Proverbs, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The reason the enemy wants to keep you trapped in pride is because he does not want you to find the mercy and compassion of God. He wants you miserable. He wants you downtrodden. He wants you to think that your life is done. No, beloved. If you confess, one of the best words in the Bible is the word repent. It simply means to turn and go in the direction that God is leading. Jesus says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And when you hear him, when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and he told those young men, come, follow me. There was something about the voice of Jesus. And they heard the voice of Jesus. They dropped everything and they followed him. I double dog dare you. If you follow Jesus Christ, you'll never be disappointed. He will never let you down. He will never throw you under the curb. He will never leave you under the bus. He will never leave you broken. He will pick you up and he'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. This Jesus. When Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, I'm humble and gentle at heart, he gave us the secret to his life. He was the greatest man who ever walked the earth, and he knew and understood humility. Now watch this. In Luke 2, 52, the Bible says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We grow in humility just like Jesus did. It's a process. We grow, we initiate it, and then we grow in humility. You keep growing in humility. Humiliation precedes exaltation. And when you consider when Jesus left us these words, he says basically, we want to help you to develop a more wonderful spirit of humility in your life. A wonderful spirit of humility in your life. Life takes on new meaning when we can honestly admit that we have a problem. that we have to constantly keep under control our own pride. Man's challenge is his unwillingness to admit that he is a sinner and ask for help. Pride keeps you from asking for help. Pride keeps you from admitting that you're a sinner. Pride keeps you saying, I'm sorry. Well, you need to get something else on your resume other than I'm sorry. Anybody can be sorry. Where I'm from, they say, sorry didn't do it, and excuse me can't cure it. It's no more time for excuses and saying, I'm sorry. It's time to say, I'm wrong. I did it. Take ownership for what you did, and God will take it, and he'll turn it around. What the enemy thought he was going to use against you, God will take it, and he'll turn it in your favor. Three things. That's what I'll leave you with this morning. Three things. Three things you can do to grow in humility. The first one is to own your own pride. There's nothing among us, no one among us, including EC, who doesn't have to be on guard against the ugly intrusion of sinful pride. No one among us. You have to stay on guard. The enemy will blow your head up so big you'd have trouble getting in the door. And then you got headaches and may have to have surgery. God said, no, don't go that way. Take ownership. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Own your own pride. Proverbs 8, 28, 12, I read it to you. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. There are benefits to letting go of pride. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who keeps you from harmful pride, who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let it go. First thing you can do, take ownership of your own pride. Second thing you can do, start serving. The single most powerful way to grow in humility is to start serving. The concept of serving is found more than 300 times in the Bible. Luke 22, 27, see, Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. When we start serving, we take our eyes off of ourselves and we begin to see through the eyes of another. Jesus says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Serve somebody. Serve somebody. Serve somebody. You'll sense a fulfillment that pride cannot give you. When you serve with the right motive, there's something fulfilling that the world cannot give. Number one, we take ownership of our own pride. Number two, the second thing we can do is start serving. The third thing we can do is listen. I started out at the top. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God to obey him when he speaks. Matthew 17, 5 says, this is my beloved son, hear him. John 8, 29 says, Jesus says, I do always what is pleasing to him. That's why I follow Jesus. He always pleased his father. He always pleased God. I want to follow the one who died and who gave his life for me. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He never disobeyed his father. I want to follow him. And beloved, you'll come out on the better end if you choose to follow him as well. I want to close with this verse. Here's a promise. Hebrews 5:8 says this, and though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. When you deny yourself, your flesh is going to suffer. But redemptive suffering leads you to a holiness, a sanctification that causes you to grow on the inside, and nothing that happens will cause you to stop following the one who gave his life for you. Here's God's promise in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. If you lavishly, perpetually do these things, you will not stumble. Listen to what I'm about to say. Those who don't constantly stumble are those who are genuinely humble. I'm gonna say it one more time. Those who don't consistently stumble are those who are genuinely humble. When you humble yourself, when your motives are pure to please God, Peter says this, likewise, you younger, submit unto the elder. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I take off my pride. No, I'm not going to strip. I know better. I take off my pride and I put on humility. When I come down off of my haughty high horse of pride, I connect with the loving, lowly Lamb of God who humbled himself. And when I humble myself, the Bible says, God will lift you up. Even when I turn my back and the devil thinks that he's got an arrow to shoot and take me out, God says, no, I got you covered from the bark, from the front. I got you covered from the back. I got you covered from the side. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't you make the mistake of thinking that when you turn your back, Jesus doesn't have your back. No, he's got your back. Humility. We let go of pride. The misunderstanding of it, the deadly sin of pride, we let it go and we hold on to humility. Irvin, come on, is he ready? I'll come back with Pastor Ken for the benediction.
If your glory wants to come me, let it fall. We want it all. Let your fire is consumed. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire. You take I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire, Lord, use my life. I wanna be tried by fire, purified, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, use my life.
Come closer. Pastor Shelley is somewhere on the campus, but this is our only son. And I cannot tell you in words what it means to stand here with a young man who was raised right here, UPA. I don't know how many times they had to call to the principal's office to get him when he was younger. But I want to say to this young man, I've said it to you a zillion times before you were in your mama's womb, I always call you champion. And I want you to know I'm proud of you. Pastor Kid.
Amen. Can we give God praise for his word today? Thank you, God. Thank you for your word, your liberating word, your transforming word. Amen, Cathedral. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
You know, if you need further prayer after service, our team will be down here in front to pray with you, to pray for you. Out in the amphitheater, we also have folks that'll pray with you. So thanks again for being a part of this journey. Don't forget, it's 3 weeks till Palm Sunday, 4 weeks till Easter. And so be praying with us, believing for a great harvest this Easter season. Amen. Bishop, would you say the benediction?
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift his face upon you. May God be gracious to you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you go with God because God goes with you. Have a great day. We love you in the name of the Lord.